This is Relevant in Rome, a weekly podcast from the Vatican with Relevant Radio Rome correspondent Ashley Nerona. Now here's the latest on Pope Francis and all that's happened in Rome this week.
It sounds like we're heading to Italy with our Rome correspondent, Ashley Nerona, as morning air continues here on Relevant Radio. Good morning, Ashley.
Buongiorno, Glenn. So glad to be here and to hear that wonderful song. I have to tell you that my grandmother, Giovanna Puglia, used to always sing that song to me. So it brings back lots of good memories this morning.
Oh, that is great. That is just great to hear. You know, and I have such an upper Midwestern radio accent here that I'm not even going to try and say buongiorno to you because, you know, I mean, hey. Chef Boyardee is about as Italian as I can get, right?
Well, I thought your buongiorno sounded great. Well done, Glenn.
Well, great to have you along, and we welcome back Pope Francis to those Wednesday general audiences this week as well.
That's right. In fact, during the month of June, there was a summer holiday there, and so those audiences did not happen. I meant to say the month of July, and that's very typical. Every July, this occurs. And so this was also the time during which Pope Francis had his recent surgical procedure and gave him some time to recover. But now, as per usual, in August, the audiences have started up again. And now in the Paul VI Audience Hall, which is inside the Vatican walls. Now, the reason that they're being held in that audience hall is because it's covered. And so that means that during this time of year with that hot August sun, the folks who are waiting for the audience can be in a little bit more comfort. The hall can hold about 6,000. It was about a third full today. In fact, one of those happy couples there in the audience hall were our friends Abby and Stephen Carey, who came all the way from Illinois to on their 1 month anniversary of marriage to have their marriage blessed today by the Pope. So they were there, and I know that they are a Relevant Radio family too, Glenn. And so back in June, Pope Francis began his catechesis on St. Paul's letter to the Galatians at that general audience. And so he picked it up from there today. He spoke about Paul's enthusiasm to evangelize. So how he just was completely dedicated to that mission of evangelization, and nothing else interested him but the proclamation of the gospel. And he pointed out that when he preaches, Paul doesn't think of the four gospels, as is natural for us, since, of course, at that time, none of the four gospels had been written. And the Pope pointed to Paul's human side and the bitter disappointment that Paul felt when he was watching the Galatians taking what the Pope called a wrong path, which would lead them to a point of no return, as they were potentially moving away from the salvation offered through Christ and turning away from the gospel by following new preachers. And on a side note, the passage that was read today that the Pope was alluding to was Galatians 1, and specifically verse 8. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let them be under God's curse. And so then back to the Pope's message, Paul knows that the gospel he preaches is the only authentic one because it's that of Jesus Christ. And of course, it's Christ's gospel that is the only one, and there can be no other. And so although the world may distort the gospel, the Pope said today, that with the truth of the gospel, you cannot negotiate. Either you receive the gospel as it is, as it was announced, or you receive something else. It's something that just cannot be negotiated with. And then at the end of the catechesis today, the Pope prayed for the people of Lebanon on the 1 year anniversary of the port explosion in Beirut. And then he also asked all the faithful to pray for pastors today, that they may specifically follow the example of St. John Mary Vianney and bring the living gospel of their witness of love and mercy and solidarity to all, Glenn.
Well, Ashley, great to hear things getting kind of back to normal for the Holy Father in Rome there, too. And it's, of course, part of the regular summer break. But any word on his physical condition? Is his recovery continuing on schedule?
Yes, it seems to be going as planned. Today at the audience, you could see that he was definitely feeling his sciatica. This is an issue that he's had for a long time. His limping was a bit extra pronounced today. So surely he's probably still feeling tired as he continues on the recovery process, Glenn.
Ashley, many parts of the U.S. Dealing with wildfires and the smoke from neighboring countries drifting down from Canada as well in the upper parts of the U.S. Midwest. But this is not the only part of the world dealing with wildfires. You have some in your neck of the woods there, too.
Yes, that's right. In fact, on the island of Sardinia, about 1,500 people have been evacuated. About 50,000 acres of land in the central west part of the island have been destroyed at this point. So nearly 8,000 emergency workers have been called out from throughout the country to help. This means firefighters and soldiers and police and civil protection volunteers as well have come on the request of our foreign minister to lend whatever help that they can. And in addition, the EU is also contributing. France and Greece have given planes to help with water bombing, as they call it. And why is all this happening? Well, there's a heat wave, and these southwesterly winds have been contributing to this blaze spreading really fast. At this point, it's not possible to estimate the damage of the fires. Like I said, they're calling it an unprecedented disaster. And as of today, they have put out a new warning. So that means that Sardinia remains in what's called an orange, a code orange. So basically, this is meant to be a time of extreme caution. So we continue to pray for the people, especially of Sardinia, Glenn.
As we get the latest from Rome with our Rome correspondent, Ashley Nerona, as we continue with Morning Air here on Relevant Radio, looking at some other goings on in that beautiful area, the recent Feast of Chains. Not everybody might be really familiar with that.
Yeah, it's so true. This is a feast that not many know about, but it's very specially celebrated here in Rome. So this happens on the 1st of August at the Basilica of St. Peter in Chains. And within that basilica, the chains that would have bound the very Prince of the Apostles, Peter himself, are kept. Now, this church was built over the baths of Trajan there. So it's right in the most ancient part of the city. And it dates back to the middle of the 5th century AD. And the date on the 1st of August was actually chosen to celebrate this feast to substitute the pagan feast honoring the Emperor Augustus. Of course, August was named after the Emperor Augustus. And so what inside that church, inside a great big glass reliquary, hang these chains. There are 11 links, and these would have, as I mentioned, actually bound Peter. Now, there's also a part that would have gone around his neck, so it would have bound his hands and his neck. And in days gone by, the popes used to, even as gifts, they would shave little particles of the chains off and close them in a golden key and give those keys, of course, representing the key of Peter, to as very special gifts. So what's happening now during this time of celebration, during this octave of celebration of those chains, is that people are making pilgrimage to that very church, the Church of St. Peter in Chains, to venerate the holy relics. And also St. Paul is honored there because four of the links of the chains that bound St. Paul's arms during his captivity in Rome are also there as well. So another beautiful feast reminding us of the richness of our faith, Glenn.
Oh, talk about real history right there. My goodness, what a relic. What a relic.
Yes.
Well, I got to think in August here, when it's as hot as it ever gets in North America, right? The irony of celebrating the miracle of the snows, which of course would be why it's a miracle this time of year, I suppose.
That's right.
But talk about that coming up tomorrow. Yeah.
Yes. Well, Glenn, so this goes back to the 4th century, when a couple here in Rome, they were a wealthy couple and they had no heirs, and they wished to donate their possessions to the church. So they prayed and they asked for the Lord for understanding on how to do that. And then on the night of August 4th, 5th, in the year 352, Our Lady appeared to the couple in a vision and told them that she would reveal the site, a site where they should use their gifts to build a new church. So the story goes that on that very same night, they went to the Esquiline Hill where Our Lady had directed them, and a miraculous fall of snow landed on the hill and created the outline for the church of that we now know today as St. Mary Major. And it's said that Pope Liberius also traveled to that very snow-covered site and then traced that outline of the church. And of course, the church was built. Now, interestingly, of all the major basilicas, St. Mary Major is the only one whose foundations, whose shape has never changed. And so to celebrate this incredibly miraculous event, yes, snowfall in the middle of August heat in Rome, each year at the Church of St. Mary Major, they hold a special, two special masses where at the end of the mass, they actually drop white rose petals from the ceiling of the basilica to represent that miraculous fall of snow. And then tomorrow night at 9 p.m., there will be, they actually recreate the idea of snow with a snow machine. It is lots of fun. They bring in local bands, there's music, people are so enthused and excited as you wait for the countdown when the snow begins to fly in every single direction in the middle of August. And of course, everyone cheers and gives thanks to Our Lady for this amazing miracle, Glenn.
Oh, that is great. That is great. You know, here I sit with all the snow I ever need for like 6 months out of the year in Minnesota, but I'm still smiling, picturing this, especially thinking of those flower petals floating down from the ceiling too, and how beautiful that must be.
It's a wonderful thing to experience. Yes.
Oh, well, and speaking of beautiful, you know, if we could send some cake through the radio waves here, we would do that for you, celebrating your 9th anniversary of being with Relevant Radio. Thank you and congratulations.
Aww. Well, John, thank you so much, Glenn, because you know what? It's been such a joy to be with you over these 9 years. It's been such a joy to get to know you, Glenn, and to also have the opportunity to share Rome across the airwaves. I mean, it is such a joy for me because it's my dream every week to invite our listeners to take a special trip to Rome. This is the heart of our faith. And for those who've been here, I want to recreate the opportunity to imagine visiting these holy sites. And for those who haven't, to have the chance to have this virtual trip of the richness of our faith right from the heart of where it all is. And so it's such a gift. And also another gift is getting able to actually meet members of our Relevant Radio family. So many people come over to visit, and it is such a joy to spend time with people who love the Lord, to hear their stories, to hear the stories of how Relevant Radio has affected their lives, and to hear how they carry around little stories that I share about the richness of our faith and culture, and how people also hope to be able to bring that to their own lives, whatever country they're living in, maybe even their own churches, and start special celebrations like these. So it has been nothing but a joy, Glenn, and I've enjoyed every minute of these last 9 years.
Well, you certainly do seem to enjoy that. That joy does radiate, and that is just awesome. Did you ever still pinch yourself, realizing that, wow, I get to work in Rome and tell other people how great it is?
Yeah, that's true. Yes. You know, it's funny, Glenn, because when my husband, John, and I moved here 13 years ago, we guessed we'd maybe stay for two. And instead, the Lord has just told us in so many ways that this is where He wants us right now. So over that time, it has been filled with such incredible blessings, for which I am so grateful. And it's been so neat to be able to share things like, for example, a papal conclave with our listeners from right up close and personal. And of course, we did that together, Glenn. That was so exciting. And to also help people, for example, during this COVID time, you know, Italy was about 6 weeks ahead of the US, and so to share the experiences of what was happening here so that people could be prepared back in the good old USA for what was coming. So yes, it's I definitely pinch myself, and I am so grateful for this chance, Glenn, and I look forward to continuing the fun.
Relevant in Rome is your weekly connection to the Vatican. Listen to live reports from Rome with Ashley Narona every Wednesday morning at 7:30 Eastern, 6:30 Central on Morning Air. And listen right here next week to Relevant in Rome for the latest on Pope Francis and news from the Vatican.